Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome into the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Jeff Byers. No longer the new guy, great. Jeff. You're now a veteran of the Keystone Sports Network.
That's right.
Week two together, and it just gets better and better every week as we're approaching football. But I tell you what, Jeff, going towards our thoughts on our show, we're going to try to do things where we dig in a little deeper to a topic. I know a week ago we talked about James Franklin for the entire show, and I got some feedback on that. Both people agreeing with us and disagreeing with us. This week, the topic I'd like to talk to you about is something that's been going on like crazy. If you follow college football, it's the biggest story going on the last couple months, I guess, and that is college football realignment. And the first part of our journey, I want to go back to Penn State joining the Big Ten. Yes, young folks, there was a time Penn State was not in the Big Ten. They were independent, right, Jeff?
Absolutely. And I think there was a large contingent that thought that would always be the case. Much like Notre Dame right now, there was great pride. I think that Penn State took in being independent. I think the fan base certainly enjoyed the schedule that they were able to create as a result of that. I mean, when you think about the matchups that Penn State had in the 80s, and listen, there were teams that you faced every year or virtually every year, and Temple, West Virginia, Syracuse, Pitt, but there was also that opportunity to see a series with Notre Dame, a series with Alabama, a series with Nebraska, later a series with Miami. And you had all of those different teams from all across the country that you could create a series with. And I think it was a really neat opportunity, again, for the fan base and for the players that came through the program to see and experience football from all different parts of the country. And I think when Penn State announced that it was heading to the Big Ten and the Big Ten announced that it was accepting Penn State, it just sent shockwaves through the university here at Penn State and certainly through the college football world and college athletics in general. And in retrospect, probably should have seen it coming a little more than I think many of us did. Obviously, Joe Paterno was an advocate for creating an Eastern Conference and wanted football and basketball to be included. And of course, I think many people know the story that, Penn State basketball just didn't bring enough to the table. And so many of those schools went off and formed the Big East for basketball. And Penn State eventually felt it needed to go to the Big Ten, I think for financial security partly, but also for that assurance of schedules across the board. And, you know, listen, the one thing that I think is still an ongoing story of interest, both for Penn State, but as we look at all these different conference realignments, is there are a lot of sports that aren't incorporated in a particular conference. And for Penn State, for example, you know, there was not an opportunity to have some of the programs join the Big Ten because there just weren't enough teams in some of the sports for there to be a Big Ten conference in that sport. And so you had a situation where some of the teams at Penn State were still in these various smaller conferences, but everybody was then in a conference affiliation. And obviously when Penn State added hockey and then eventually the Big Ten was able to incorporate a hockey conference. And I think it's just been interesting to see how much the landscape has changed. I think if you go back, though, the start of this whole process really was in the early 90s there when Penn State and the Big Ten finally came to that agreement.
In researching some of this topic, Jeff, what's fascinating to me is how different the perspectives were back then to today. And you alluded to it, the basketball that was going on then, Big East basketball was the big thing. And at the time, the schools like Syracuse, Pitt, BC, they valued their attachment to Big East basketball more so than they were concerned about football. Today, that thought is unimaginable.
It is. And it's just, again, I guess speaks to how quickly things change and evolve or devolve, I guess, depending on your perspective in the sports world, but in really in society in general. I mean, we were talking on a news talk show I do earlier this week about AI and just how quickly things are changing in terms of the workforce and the ways different things can be accomplished now. And I think when you know, think back to, again, when Penn State joined the Big Ten, it was just a mind-blowing announcement. And now you're kind of expecting each year, well, let's see whose teams are going to be changing now. And it's one of those things, I guess it just kind of depends when you come into this world and you start following anything. You know, your perspective obviously is from the time you were born or you can remember to present day. And then you go back and you hear the stories about the times before you came on the earth. And it is just, it's fascinating when you look back at, you know, obviously pro franchises change. I mean, you know, the Brooklyn Dodgers is just a completely foreign concept to me. Obviously, I'm aware of the history there and I understand the following. But if you lived through that, right? I mean, it was completely turning your world upside down if you were a big baseball fan, that here's your team in Brooklyn, not just leaving, going to the other side of the country, for crying out loud. And when you think back to free agency and when that occurred in professional sports, again, there were people predicting that's going to be the end of sports as we know it because fans aren't going to follow it. And there's people predicting that now with college sports. And listen, it's going to change. It's not going to be the way we knew it. Pro sports never went back to the 70s models, and it has changed, but certainly hasn't gone away. And people adjust, and you make the changes that you need to. And listen, there's going to be some fans that are, all right, I'm done with this. I'm going to go find something else for my entertainment value. But you're also going to gain some new fans that, oh, no, this seems pretty intriguing. Now I'll follow it. And for the majority, it's just going to be, yep, I adjust, not happy about it, complain about it, and I'll keep following and enjoying the sports as it is presented moving forward.
Well, I think the other point to this with Penn State specifically is I believe Joe Paterno was ahead of his time in realizing the need to be part of a conference. And I think time has proven that. What I think it also has proven is how short-sighted Pitt, Syracuse, BC, all those teams were. Think how much different the landscape would be today, especially for those teams, if they were able to create an Eastern All-Sports Conference. Now, we're going to talk, you know, in our next segment about some of the ramifications to Penn State doing with their move. But I thought some of the details of the move for Penn State was also fascinating, Jeff. And I'm not sure if you remember this. There was a lot of controversy because the presidents of the universities of the Big Ten got together and agreed Penn State should come in. Unfortunately, athletic directors and coaches were like, who do you think you are as the president making decisions? That should be up to us. And particularly folks like Bobby Knight and Bo Schembechler were particularly vocal. And one of their big issues, get ready for this, Jeff, they were concerned about travel all the way to Pennsylvania.
No question. And it was, how do you get there? How do you get to that little podunk town in the middle of Pennsylvania. And listen, I get it. I think there were some legitimate concerns and beefs with it, but I think the university president saw the long-term advantageous opportunities that Penn State would bring to the table, both in terms of the broad-based sports program, also the research as an institution. I mean, we kind of laughed about it at the time. And listen, athletics was still the driving force. But yes, academics were part of it. And I think adding a school with the research in particular that Penn State does was a benefit for the Big Ten as a whole, and certainly Penn State being able to coordinate with conference brethren now as a member of the Big Ten, a big benefit there for the university as well as the athletic department. But yeah, understandably, there were people that were not happy and weren't thinking about, obviously, I don't think anybody was thinking at that time, hey, you know, in another couple of decades, this might completely change again in monumental ways. And we are obviously are seeing that. It is interesting. There was a column, I think it was in Sports Illustrated back in the 1980s, and this is before Penn State even went to the Big Ten, that did predict to some degree this stuff, saying that, it, you know, eventually the college football is going to go to more of an NFL model, and you're going to have just kind of a couple of conferences, and then you'll have a championship game. It was just one person's prediction, and, you know, not everything obviously came to fruition in it, but it is amazing to me, some 30 years later, just how much of this was, to some degree at least, forecast even back in the 1980s. I just don't think many people were really believing it or buying into it at that point.
Well, I think at that point there had been so many years of stability that you couldn't see that change coming. And I won't get into it in detail, but I don't think there was another school that moved into a conference that was so resented as Penn State was when it went into the Big Ten. A conversation for another day, but that 1994 vote for national champion, when traditionally all the writers from a specific conference, they will vote that conference's team. That's the way it always is, except for 94 when Big Ten writers voted for Nebraska over Penn State. All right, Jeff, that's it for quarter number one, but we got lots more to talk about, and especially the ramifications of that Penn State move.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Jeff Byers. Jeff, our topic of the day is conference realignment. First, we're looking back at the history. We spent quarter one talking about Penn State's move to the Big Ten. Those kind of moves were so different back then. I believe Penn State got voted in 1990, and they were an independent. And it still took 3 years to, I believe, 93, till they were actually playing games in the Big Ten. But I want to hit some of the ramifications of that, because the dominoes really started to fall after Penn State made their change. But there was another landmark change that actually happened several years prior to the Penn State's move. And that was, and I had to look up the year, it was 1984, when the NCAA, they lost in a Supreme Court ruling. They maintained the television rights for all the teams. And if you're an old guy like me and you, Jeff, do you remember the day when there was one college football game on every week? Just one?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
It was such a big deal to have your team actually be on TV. Otherwise, we had to wait for highlights. And I remember as a kid, well, Sunday there was the Notre Dame highlights. And then during the week, there was something called TV Quarterback. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
With Joe and Fran Fisher, they would show Penn State highlights. And that's what we had to wait for. But once that ruling changed, teams had the ability to get their own TV deals and conferences. And that's really what changed that whole money deal. Then you have a few years later, Penn State makes that change to the Big Ten. And I thought what was really ironic about it is then all of those teams who were part of the Big East, all the dominoes started to fall where the Big East changes. They get in, you know, teams like Miami and Florida State went to the ACC. So Penn State making the move to the conference led to everybody else doing the same type of thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, no question. And I think, you know, one of the interesting things to me is just the impact that it had on schedules, because for all of those teams, and I think, you know, Penn State going to the Atlantic 10 in basketball and I think some other sports, but basketball was obviously the big one. And, you know, seeing that some different teams come into Rec Hall in those days. And then, you know, from a football perspective, I do think it was tough on the Penn State fan base, but I also think, you know, on some of those schools that we're talking about, all of a sudden Syracuse and Pitt, which as just a couple of examples, just relied on Penn State being on the schedule, knew that would be a sellout crowd when it was at their place, and that it was just an automatic series that they could put into the fold. And now all of a sudden there's Penn State off in the Big Ten, and that's not an automatic draw for those teams. And I think to go back to your earlier point, just short-sighted on the part of the ADs and administrations at the other schools when Joe Paterno was trying to form that Eastern Conference and not seeing the long-term benefits for having Penn State and all of these schools join forces for football, basketball, and the other sports. And, you know, again, it would be interesting, and there's no way, obviously, to know to see how different. Maybe at the end of the day, everything plays out pretty similarly here in terms of the national landscape with college athletics. But you have to think it would have changed somewhat had Penn State been able to convince the other schools, and you had an Eastern Conference with, again, Penn State, West Virginia, Syracuse, Pitt, and, you know, the other teams that Boston College, those schools. How different would the landscape look now? And what would the financial impact be now? Because it's hard to argue financially that the Big Ten was not a great move for Penn State, not just a good move, but an absolutely fantastic move long-term for sure for the university. I don't know how that would have played out if Penn State's still in the East. I mean, Penn State likely in football, at least, would be year in and year out still the team to beat if there was an Eastern Conference. But what would the TV landscape look like for that Eastern Conference in today's environment? And, you know, I could make arguments probably both ways, that it would have been solid. And, you know, I don't think probably quite as lucrative as what the Big Ten is now for the Nittany Lions. But, you know, maybe not as far off as you might think had that league been able to establish itself and develop. Because, listen, you had some big markets in there. Obviously, Boston with Boston College, you know, Rutgers to some degree with New York City, Syracuse. But then, you know, Pitt, Temple, you know, West Virginia, all good draws. And it just would be interesting to see if you could create that parallel world. How does everything play out? And how different is the landscape over the course of that time? And then looking at today.
Well, what I think is ironic about it, Jeff, is the Big East didn't want to be part of this football portion of it because they didn't want Penn State basketball. And the Pitts and Syracuse said basketball is too valuable to worry about football. But as soon as Penn State, ironically, makes the move to the Big Ten, that's when the Big East said, uh-oh, because of that, we better worry about football. And the next thing you know, they are bringing in, you know, Miami. And I think Miami was not necessarily this great basketball school to bring in. They were brought in because of football. Penn State was probably the, you know, the more stable football program at the time. But could you imagine along the East Coast if you had said, as you pointed out, the TV markets, maybe Rutgers doesn't bring all of New York City, but if you have Rutgers, Syracuse, and Penn State,
yeah.
If you have Boston College, okay, maybe Temple isn't huge in Philadelphia, but Penn State is also there. Maryland for the Baltimore and DC market. And if you go south and you get Miami at that point, all of a sudden, that's a conference that could go all the way up and down the East Coast and all of the population center of the East Coast. I think that conference would have had a real opportunity to match up against the Big Ten in the Southeast Conference. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And, you know, again, it's hard to project, obviously, what would have happened had things played out differently. But it's hard to imagine that that wouldn't have been a really solid conference with a good foothold in some key markets and key demographics. And again, whether or not if that league existed and, you know, we're fast forwarding to today, is the Big Ten still expanding to the degree it is? Would that Big East or whatever you want to call it, Eastern Conference, would it have looked to expand and could it have expanded and taken some of the imprint that either the ACC or the Big Ten has made? It's interesting to think about. Obviously, there's no answer one way or the other, but it's hard to imagine that conference wouldn't have been a significant player here over the last few decades.
Definitely. And there's a couple more instances of things that went on around that era where teams started to make choices. And I want to juxtapose it against where things are today. One of them is Florida State in joining the ACC. Apparently they had an option. They could have gone to the Southeast Conference, Jeff. And they chose the ACC, the theory being they felt they could win more in the ACC. That's why they chose that. How does Florida State feel today about that decision they made 30 years ago?
Yeah, right at the moment, not too good, that's for sure. But, you know, again, how does that play out? If Florida State has been in the SEC for the last, you know, 25, 30 years, what kind of an impact is Florida State making in the SEC? What type of, you know, how different is the competitive nature in the SEC with them in there? And it's hard to project or, you know, imagine exactly how things would play out. There's obviously a lot of different components that come into play here from a recruiting front and, you know, the ebbs and flows that different programs have, coaching changes and all of that. And probably none of it plays out exactly as it has to this point if you change any one dynamic in any of these scenarios. And again, to me, it's a lot of fun to think about. Probably not the most fruitful use of time, but it is interesting when you sit down and think about all of the different possibilities and how different, again, that landscape may look today. Again, it would have been, even when Penn State made that move in 1994, I think if anybody had said, hey, in 30 years, USC and UCLA are going to be following Penn State into the Big Ten, that's going to be part of the there's nobody that could have possibly imagined. What are you talking about? They're part of the Pac-8. Like, there's, why would the Pac-8 school go to the Big Ten? And even if they could, why would they? I mean, it's just, again, how quickly things can change. And, you know, Notre Dame to me is still the big question mark here is how long can Notre Dame hold out here as a quote unquote independent? And, you know, to a large degree, they've already ceded their independency. But as an independent in football, I think that's kind of just the lone remaining bellwether for whether or not college football completely goes in this new direction that I think everybody is anticipating, where at the end of the day, I still think we end up with just two power conferences, what we currently know is the SEC and the Big Ten. And I think eventually we actually end up back to more of a regional scenario where you have these, you know, it'll be Big Ten East and it'll be who knows how that's going to play out.
Exactly. But we are going to explore that, Jeff, when we come back.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We're digging deep into this whole college realignment. We were looking at the history. Trust me, we'll get there. We're going to get to the present day. But Jeff, we finished up quarter two. We were talking about how Florida State made the decision to choose the ACC over the Southeast Conference. And I'm going back 30 years for that decision. It's the same situation. Florida State made the decision for the ACC because they thought they could win more championships coming through the ACC. You fast forward 30 years, they're now stuck in the ACC, but the same thing holds true. They could win the ACC a whole lot easier than they would the Southeast Conference, but the money difference has become so obscene that would override everything. So if we go forward a little bit, you look at Texas and Oklahoma, who probably led the way for this most recent splurge of conference realignment. Texas and Oklahoma have a heck of a better chance to get to the playoffs, play for national championships, conference championships, if they were still in the Big 12, right? But that was not even a factor in this. Southeast Conference, they're paying the bigger money. I kind of think Oklahoma and Texas might end up as mediocre Southeast Conference teams.
Yeah, I am really curious to see how that plays out. And listen, same thing in the Big Ten. I'm curious to see over the course of the next decade and then beyond, how does a USC or an Oregon fare year in and year out in the Big Ten? I will tell you, when Penn State joined the Big Ten, I was on the air at the time, and I said, you know, I think this is going to be an easier path to the national title for Penn State moving forward, because as an independent, again, you were playing the Pitts and the West Virginias and the Boston Colleges, which I thought were comparable to middle of the road Big Ten teams, where you'd have a good year, you know, every now and then, but usually a solid team, but not exceptional. And, you know, the Ohio State and Michigan teams would be comparable to Notre Dame, Nebraska, Alabama, the teams that Penn State was scheduling as an independent. And, you know, in the 80s, Penn State won a couple of national titles, played for another. And then you hit that second year in the Big Ten, and there's Penn State undefeated and, in my mind, deserving of winning the national title. And it's like, oh, yeah, this is how this is going to go. Penn State wasn't expecting to dominate the conference, but over a 10-year period, I'm expecting Penn State to probably win 5-6 titles, Ohio State to win, you know, 3 or 4, and Michigan to win, you know, 3, however the math would work out. But I'm expecting Penn State to win at least as much, if not more, in terms of conference titles than Michigan or Ohio State. And yes, I'm thinking every now and then another team is going to sneak in. So that's, again, kind of what I was thinking and how that would play out. And after that 94 season, I'm like, well, yeah, this is how this is going to go. This is exactly what I was expecting. And then you have, you know, a decade of, to varying degrees, struggles for the Penn State football program, and then kind of the re-emergence in 2005. And then, you know, obviously nobody could have foreseen what was coming down the pike in 2011 and 2012. But I think that, you know, when you look at the conferences and the way they continue to change, the thing that I am most disappointed in, and again, I get it, and I'm not, you know, sulking about it, but I love the Penn State-Pitt rivalry. When I was growing up, that Nebraska-Oklahoma rivalry seemed like it was everything out there. Those rivalries, to me, are big and important, and I get it. Things change, and there's new rivals, and, you know, Florida State and Miami was not a game anybody in the 70s would have cared about, and then it became the game. So I get it. There's ebbs and flows with all of this, and, you know, the changing landscape is what it is. But I personally do miss some of those rivalry games that I grew up with that I just took for granted. I mean, it's part of, for me, it was part of college football. It was a given. Yes, Nebraska, Oklahoma. Yes, Penn State, Pitt. Games that you just knew were going to be on the schedule forever. And obviously that ended up not being the case.
And no matter how long Penn State is in the Big Ten, Penn State versus anybody is not going to match up with Ohio State versus Michigan. It's just not going to happen. They're not going to have those rivalries. USC is coming to the Big Ten with UCLA. So that big final game that they always had, that will continue. But Penn State didn't go into the Big Ten with Pitt so that they were able to continue that. Now, Jeff, I want to ask you about something else. We've been talking in terms of the team and why they want to join the conference. The fact is, you know, it takes two to tango here. The conference has to want you. We can look back at Penn State as, you know, as you mentioned, they were coming off a decade in the 80s where they won a couple national championships, played for another one or two, and they should have been quite the catch for the Big Ten. But as you move forward, we saw the Big Ten add Maryland and Rutgers with the idea they're bringing in eyeballs. They're bringing in the New York market. They're bringing in the DC market. But I think that kind of changed the Southeast Conference looking for, you know, bringing in Texas and Oklahoma. They weren't looking necessarily at the number of TVs that were in that location. They were looking for the national brand. And I think that was college football conferences learning. College football isn't about New York City. It's about the Oklahomas and the Texases. It's different.
Yeah, there's no question. And I think that's also, again, kind of one of the fascinating pieces to me is watching the way these conferences view the quote-unquote national brands and the way schools view themselves as either a national brand or not. And, you know, Oregon is just is kind of a fascinating case in that regard. Obviously, with Phil Knight and Nike getting involved, it completely changed the perception of that Oregon program. And now, you know, with the uniforms and all of the wrinkles that they can do there, and some of the high profile coaches that they've had, I mean, it's completely transformed that national image or recognition of a school like Oregon. And then you look at a school like Nebraska, which I don't know that when I was growing up, there was more of a national brand than Nebraska. I just remember in our neighborhood pickup games, you know, we would Jarvis Redwine was like a huge, I'm going to be Jarvis today. No, I'm not. I mean, we're Penn State fans. We were all Penn State kids and, you know, love following the Nittany Lions. But Nebraska was a catchy, fun brand. And now, you know, I think nationally, you know, Nebraska wouldn't be anywhere in the top 20, certainly. And I'm not sure how far you'd have to go down before, you know, young kids today would say, oh, yeah, Nebraska's, you know, a quote-unquote national school. Again, I think you have, I mean, obviously Notre Dame, but I mean, Penn State, probably five teams in the Big Ten alone ahead of Nebraska, and probably at least another six or seven in the SEC that you'd list ahead of Nebraska in terms of that national brand recognition and or loyalty. And so, you know, some of that stuff changes, but some of it remains the same. I mean, Alabama, Oklahoma, Ohio State, USC. I mean, those schools that were big in the 70s are still big now. And there's, again, always going to be some ebbs and flows, some teams that'll come and go. But through all of it, it is also amazing how much of it is still steady. You're like, well, yeah, nope. I remember when Alabama was big. Oh, yeah, that's been in my entire life. I remember when Notre Dame was a big draw. Well, yeah, that's been my entire life. There's changes, and obviously a lot of changes going on in college athletics, but there are some things that also do remain constant. And, you know, some of those national brands remain national brands through decade after decade.
I know this wasn't exactly part of our topic, but you bring up a good point about those national brands. Sometimes it takes a bit of controversy. Like Alabama did have a couple of those down years with some controversy. Nick Saban comes in, and the program's back to reaching its potential. Penn State, remember through the scandal, the thought was, even though they didn't get the death penalty, this team for a decade is not going to recover, if ever. And I think I'm going to tie in our topic from last week about James Franklin. Thank goodness he came in here. And I believe he saved the program, because it could have really gone south pretty quickly, Jeff. So
yeah, I think I still don't think overall folks give enough credit to just how remarkable a story Penn State football has been over this last decade. When you consider the predictions and projections that were coming out in the immediate aftermath of the NCAA sanctions. And I think, you know, it's a testament to several things. Certainly James Franklin and Bill O'Brien deserve a ton of credit. The kids that were on those Bill O'Brien teams and then James Franklin, those first couple of years, deserve a ton of credit. And I think the legacy that that Penn State had established under Joe Paterno and those teams also deserves some credit there. I mean, it was a big brand name. And I think that, you know, you've had a lot of people come through Happy Valley talk about just how special a place it is. And I think, you know, most big time schools will have alumni that will tell you the same thing about whatever school they went to. But it did feel like Penn State was a little extra special. And I think there's a handful of other places that could have had the same type of response from the community and gotten a coach like James Franklin to come in and stick. But I don't think there's many of them. I mean, I think truly a handful that it's like, nah, this place is special enough. We can make this work.
All right. Very good, Jeff. I'll tell you what, we're going to shift from history to the present and the future. We'll get to that in quarter number four.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. We are talking about college football conference realignment. Jeff, we went through a lot of the history. Let's get now to the present day and what's going on, because this past year has been absolutely crazy. I think the start of this latest realignment was Texas and Oklahoma making the shift to the Southeast Conference. The Big Ten reacted by going to USC and UCLA, bringing them in, and that made everybody else now panicking who now could make the move. And I think the difference today, what's going on, we gave examples, whether it was Florida State or some of the others, where there were other issues involved, like, does it make sense geographically? Does it make sense competitively? Could we win in this conference? It just feels like all of that is out the door. Right now, it's very simple. It's about the television contract. If you got it, you're golden. Southeast Conference, Big Ten. If you don't got it, like the Pac-12, you're going to be extinct. Is it as simple as that?
I think to a large degree it is right now. What is interesting there, Jim, is I think that in a decade we'll probably look back and it's like, wait, the Pac-12 basically dissolved because it had a streaming service? That's what everybody's doing now, is my guess. I mean, that's certainly right. The direction we're heading. But it's in the moment, right? You need that the TV deal, and that's what everybody is thinking and wanting. And it's just it is amazing because even a couple of years ago, even a year ago, I think if you had pinned me down and it's like, okay, listen, one of the Power Five conferences is going to dissolve. Certainly, I would have said the Big Ten and the SEC are not. They're off the table. But I think the Pac-12 would have been the one that I would have thought was strongest of the remaining three there, and that it would be either the Big 12 or the ACC. And certainly with all of the issues that the ACC has had, that seemed like a likely candidate. But then with Alabama, with Texas and Oklahoma moving to the SEC, it's like, well, it's going to be the Big 12 here that clearly is going to be the one dissolving. And then all of a sudden, again, things unraveled very, very quickly there for the Pac-12. And, you know, again, everything just keeps changing so quickly, and trying to imagine what this thing is going to be like, even in a year, let alone in a decade, is just really difficult right now. And there's a bunch of scenarios that I can see playing out. I keep coming back to, I think at some point, the non-revenue sports, the Olympic sports, are going to have to figure out how to get back to a more regional schedule. I know they're trying to be creative, and I think for a couple of years, maybe you can make this work in terms of the travel to and from California for the schools there, back here, and vice versa. I don't see that lasting long-term because of the money involved. And I think now, you know, the big money sports of football and basketball are becoming even more big money. And I just think they're going to start looking around more and more and saying, listen, we're bringing in, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars now. Why do we keep sharing it with all of these programs and fellow athletes who are bringing in nothing to the athletic department? And you know, I hope I'm wrong about that. I like the college sports model, but I think much like everything else we've talked about in sports, you might like it, you might complain about it, but I think the change is, to me, almost inevitable at this point. I'm not exactly sure what it looks like if we go to more of a, you know, a club model for the non-revenue sports and you get away from the scholarships and all of that, which, listen, you can still have good competitive sports. You look at Penn State rugby, you know, ice hockey here was a really successful club sport before it became a varsity sport. So it's not that you can't have good competitive sports and sports that can draw fans with that, but it's just a really different model than we have now. Or do we keep the scholarship model? And it's like, yeah, we just got to get rid of some of the travel costs and so that the Big Ten and the SEC remain conferences for football and maybe basketball, but then all of the other sports go back to, you know, regional conferences, and it's like, hey, yeah, let's get all the schools that are in Pennsylvania and the surrounding states and form a lacrosse conference or a softball conference or whatever it may be. I just think the model as it exists, I don't think is going to sustain for very long.
Well, even as we speak, Jeff, Cal, Stanford, SMU are talking to the ACC. And I know one of the things mentioned was maybe them being in the conference for football, but not for the other sports, to your point. What I feel is ironic also is how the pendulum swings on this type of thing. Remember, years ago, there were no divisions within a conference. The SEC started that, because then they could have a championship game, which was worth so much money. Pendulum swings. We're going to have no more divisions. But I think that's where the pendulum will swing back. If the Southeast Conference and the Big Ten continue to grow, if you have so many teams, they're not going to be able to play each other. You could literally have three undefeated teams and try to get a championship game. What do you do at that point? The answer is what? Divisions. How do you split the divisions? By geography. So if you have, you know, the ACC picking up some West Coast teams, might they, after, if they get Stanford and Cal, would it be such a stretch to add Oregon State, Washington State, and all of a sudden you have a Western division for the ACC and the Big Ten? I could picture it. Well, you have the traditional Midwest group. You have the Eastern Division with Penn State and Rutgers and Maryland, and who knows who else might be added there. Might it be like Virginia or North Carolina if the ACC blows up? And out West, you've already begun the process with USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington. And all of a sudden, we're going to have what used to look like the Pac 8, 10, 12, maybe just ends up being a division of the Big Ten, right?
Yeah, I think that's entirely possible and maybe even likely at this point. You know, I think the next couple of years will be kind of fun if you're a sports fan to watch across the board with all of these sports, because I do think for the short term, we're going to get these cross-country trips, and it'll be kind of fun and interesting to see how they pair people up with, you know, kind of travel buddies and that sort of thing. Again, there's some creative stuff that is going to be done here to make it work in the short term. But yeah, I think long term, one way or another, I think we get back to more regional schedules for most of the sports, and maybe football and basketball included, but certainly for the other sports. And again, it doesn't mean that you don't ever go out of your region other than the championships, but I just think, you know, having four regular season games for a non-revenue sport where you're traveling out west just does not make a whole lot of sense at the end of the day. But again, the other part of this is the whole system is changing so much because of the NIL stuff now. And, you know, so maybe some of that plays into this too, that, hey, you get paid for, you know, the longer trip, you get a little extra bonus in the revenue. And I mean, I think eventually that's kind of the direction we're heading. I realize right now it's NIL, but I think eventually we're going to the pay to play model, and you know, and that's going to bring another whole set of issues with it if that happens, both for individual sports and for the athletes involved. And again, it's just hard to try to keep your mind around everything that is happening and everything that could happen. And again, that's all we're doing right now is speculating on how this is going to play out. As I've been saying on another show repeatedly, at the end of the day, nobody knows exactly how this is going to play out and what this is going to look like, you know, even in a couple of years, let alone in a decade from now. I just there's all kinds of scenarios I could see possibly playing out.
Well, I think what will change is, right now, the driving force is the conference television contracts for football. That's the driving force. So that's what makes, you know, USC and UCLA join the Big Ten. It's why the crazy thought of Stanford and Cal part of the ACC, and for all those who are beating the drum, how could you do that to the student athlete with the long travel? Well, the difference is, you know, they're about $40 or $50 million per year in revenues. You know, that can buy you a lot of chartered cross-country flights. What I think will then change next is someone saying, okay, the non-football sports, this model can't work. What I could see is the football separating from the NCAA, doing their own thing, and let the rest play a regional model. Maybe they even redo their conferences based on that. Would that make sense to you, Jeff?
Yeah, I think that's it would make sense, and I think it's definitely a scenario that could play out. I think, again, I think there's all kinds of possibilities here. I think there's also a scenario I could see where, again, the football schools do kind of break off and decide, you know what, at the end of the day, you know, this isn't about academics. And if you want to take courses at that university that's nearby, that's cool. But, you know, a la minor league baseball, come on in and let's play football. And again, you can use the substantial money that you can earn here and put it toward a college degree if you so choose. I mean, I really do think there's just a ton of different possibilities here in terms of how this ultimately plays out and ends.
They have a name for that, Jeff. They call it professional sports. That is it for our show. Thanks, Jeff, and thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.